Welcome back to the Survivor Specialist, everybody. Today, if you're watching this on YouTube, you might notice it's a little bit of a different format here talking about Survivor China, and that is because I have Ryan here with me, and we live together.
Yeah,
so
keeping it local.
We're keeping it local, but we just finished episode 8 and 9 of Survivor China. We are a little bit behind on podcasting, so I do apologize for that, but we are really, really excited to talk about the season so far. So, Ryan, before we get into talking about the episodes and this season overall so far, I would love to for you to tell people, number one, your history with Survivor, number two, when you first watched Survivor China.
All right. So I started watching Survivor probably like around season two. I was a wee little lad, and I remember it coming on after the Super Bowl. And then I watched it probably like somewhere in the early teens. I feel like I probably fell off around like Cook Islands or something, but I did not watch China live.
I didn't know that.
I do remember, I feel like I was in like seventh or eighth, probably like eighth grade around the time. And I was playing baseball. I remember one of my buddies being on the phone like, "Hey, this guy just has two immunity idols. Isn't that cool?"
Oh, wow. And
so I didn't question what immunity idols were. So I'm assuming that I had at least seen up to up to like Panama at least. And then when I went back and I got back into Survivor around Token Sheens and then kind of like stayed in it since then. But China, I went back and I rewatched it, and I want to say I wasn't spoiled about it or anything. So,
which we're trying to keep here. So yeah. If you haven't seen Survivor China, we're going to keep this a mostly spoiler-free or as spoiler-free podcast as we possibly can. And in the last 10 minutes, I will have a spoiler warning announcement, and we will talk about what we've watched, knowing kind of what we know into the season. So, Ryan, the first thing I want to talk about here, and I'm going to go all the way back to episode 2. In episode 2, we saw, you know, some fights here. And I really want to talk about Stephanie, and I made a video about this. Stephanie goes out in episode 2, and I feel like, do you feel very similar to me where it's like really odd rewatching Survivor knowing that somebody has died? Because she had, if you didn't know, she's passed, she's no longer with us. And I feel very strange rewatching a real person, you know, go through real things after, you know, if they've died.
No, it's definitely very different knowing that, especially knowing like she had a lot of later on like troubles and everything. But I feel like these episodes don't really doesn't shine like an excellent light on her or anything as well. So, but at the same point, you were not seeing the full 3D versions of all of these people. So I still lean into it thinking of more of them as like characters. So it makes it a little bit easier to rewatch it.
Do you think that that was the right move, voting her out there? Do you think that she would have been an asset to the team? I mean, she is a WWE wrestler. And, you know, they aren't doing great in challenges at this point. So do you think that it was the wrong move to vote her out and maybe instead vote out Dave?
Well, I feel like voting out either of them would have really been detrimental to the, like the strength of the tribe, but the two of them weren't cohesive. So it wasn't doing yourselves any favors to like have them together. So I feel like it would have to be kind of like one or the other just for the peace of the camp. But at the same time, once you do that, you're like chopping off your own leg.
Yeah.
So then like once you try to run the race, you're going to be a little behind.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I feel like, you know, episode 2 and honestly, the pre-merge of China is really interesting because I think there are a lot of interesting characters and we see a lot of fights. We see a lot of, you know, butting of the heads. You know, I think we see also in either episode 2 or episode 3, I love this moment, classic Survivor moment. Mm-hmm. Todd and Courtney overhearing Jean Robert and James talking about like who they think should be going next.
Oh yeah, when they're in the water.
When they're in the water.
Hear the voices carrying over.
And Todd and Courtney, I mean, one thing that I didn't really remember before, you know, rewatching this, because the last time I watched this was a little bit ago, fully. For some reason, I remember Todd and Courtney being much closer. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, they're not that close. they're, you know, Amanda is Todd's number one. Todd's working with, you know, Jean Robert a little bit.
Yeah.
Todd's working with other people more than Courtney. And so seeing them together collecting this kindling and then hearing this specifically about Courtney, I think is a really fascinating Survivor moment and really, really fun. And it really kind of sticks in my head.
Back with what you said about like tribal conflicts, it's very interesting watching them just more about camp life. Like we have like a full 1-2 episodes of like Dave building his fire pit and everybody
fireplace, giant fireplace.
Everybody's like arguing about how to do it. And then he's like, no, if we don't do it my way, then let's just not even do it at all. And the fire pit outlasts him, like, spoiler alert.
The fire pit must still be there. It must still be there. That thing is going to last forever. Why do you think that we don't see as much conflict like this kind of conflict in modern day Survivor?
Well, now there's just a lot less downtime. And people are, with it being like a shorter time as well, I feel like people could easily say, I can suck it up and deal with this person for another week. Whereas in the episode we just watched was day 27,
mm-hmm.
and they still have what, like 10 people, 8 people left in the game,
yeah.
Not somewhere around there.
Yeah, that is, I think that is so true. I think that like very much boredom plays into, you know, the conflict, but also, and this is something we saw in season 50, food also plays into the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the episodes that we just watched, there was a lot of big fight over James getting a lot of food,
eating more
than his portion. And, you know, James saying, well, I'm doing all this stuff around camp. I'm getting the food, so I'm going to eat more. And we see other people like be upset about that. And in modern day Survivor, we're not getting, they literally don't get food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do kind of forget how much conflict is brought to the table because of assets. You know, if you don't have any assets, if you don't have anything to be able to kind of like claim or even have, you know, a conversation over, then you're not going to get as much conflict. I mean, we saw it in season 49. The assets were Savannah's bag,
yeah.
Savannah's water bottle, Savannah's stuff. And then that's when we see conflict. So I feel like that is one unintended consequence of making the game harder for a shorter game. It's just you don't get as much conflict because if you've got nothing, it's really nothing to fight over.
Because every time that they have rice, somebody's cooking it wrong. Somebody adds too much water. Somebody's going to eat the dry rice before it's cooked. There's always going to be some sort of like personal conflict because somebody thinks they know better than somebody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so back to Survivor China. I'm really interested to talk about Todd and Amanda's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they really started a working relationship basically on day one, and they have continued that up through episode 9. And I think it's quite fascinating because we don't really, you know, this time in Survivor, it's kind of getting to the like, oh, you got to be loyal, but you know, you got to be wary. And I do think that they're wary, but I think that it's so interesting that they have this working relationship. But Amanda keeps talking about how he's young,
mm-hmm.
and he's too quick with, you know, his actions, or he flip-flops too much. What do you think about, you know, watching their relationship back?
It's very interesting because you know that they both probably think, I could beat this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's typically why you would have like an alliance with somebody to go to the end, because deep down you feel like you could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you see her like commenting a lot about like his strategy and like how he's very hot-headed and like this last episode, how he kept like changing his mind, but you don't really see her like saying anything to him, mm-hmm. about it. So all in all, like she's still like following what he like wants to do.
That's true. I feel like I noticed it first, and maybe this was the first time she really said it, when they were talking about getting the idols down.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this was in episode 4 or 5. And instead of waiting around like James did,
mm-hmm.
when he was going after the idols, he did it. Plain view of everybody.
Yeah, it drew Frosty over, so they had to include
Frosty,
yeah.
Which didn't hate. Like, I like Frosty, But I just think it's like, she has a great point. He didn't have to do it right then and there. He could have waited. And, you know, as we saw, it's possible to get that without drawing way too much attention. So, you know, we see that where he does, he's a little bit too quick on the draw. But I feel like he has good relationships with people that it doesn't really come back to bite him all too much.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the kidnapping, the reward that they've been doing? I don't know if it's always on the reward round, but they typically, like, one person's kidnapped from the other tribe with the clue and gives them a clue. How do you feel?
I kind of like it. I feel like, so the kidnapping, I think, is interesting. And it's actually something that I talked about. Spoiler alert for Tech Talks this week. Ayo. The Patreon podcast, for those who want to listen. I did Elevator Pitch with Will, filmed that today. And one of the, and we're talking about open era and, you know, kind of some things that we want to see in the open era, pitching, if you will, things that we want to see in the open era. And I kept going back to things that we've just been watching in Survivor China, because it's just so top of mind for me. And one of the things was the kidnapping, because I think the kidnapping brings in a different, a little bit of jolt of new blood. And it does, I think, paint targets on people. You know, anybody, I think almost everybody who got kidnapped, up until now, now everybody who's been kidnapped got voted out. Leslie specifically got voted out because she was kidnapped and she was getting along too well with the other tribe. And that's why she was voted out. And I think that there is a very interesting dynamic here. Another reason why I like One World. Do you build bonds with people or do you stick with the people that you know? How do you manage that? How do you go around it? I find it fascinating. And I also really like that, you know, they even got to kidnap James back, you know, and he got to go on that really, really fun. What is it? A Charmin? Charmin. I love that reward. The Charmin reward.
No, it's very interesting because it was, I think Jamie and PG had the strategy of, oh, we've got control of these guys, so let's just cut them. And then halfway through, they're like, oh, maybe Frosty and Sharia aren't on our side. So maybe we shouldn't have done this. And now but then they had already started. So they've already like made the enemies of like James. And you kind of had to like pick a lane, and they started going one way and then went back, and then they got the repercussions of both. And that's how they kind of, their tribe really loses control right before the merge.
Now I want to talk about, you brought up a really great moment that I really want to talk about. There is a challenge, and I believe it's the reward challenge, when they're running through the house and they're collecting.
Houses, those are always fun.
And I will say there was a really fun video on TikTok that I saw that was a like a behind the scenes look on Jeff's day.
Oh, the day in the life.
The day in the life.
And it was laundry day.
It was laundry day. And it was the day that they did that challenge. And I just watched that episode when I watched this and I went, this is so crazy. This is so, so, so cool. I want Jeff to bring that back. I loved that. But there was an editing thing that they did with this challenge where I believe it was PG and Sharia were in the house. They were doing it together. And PG was trying to talk to Sharia. PG was trying to do this. And she was giving her nothing. She just didn't respond. But the editing here, we could hear, instead of, you know, Jeff has a like a lavalier mic, I believe. And, you know, we normally see him, hear him. Sorry, we normally hear him perfectly, no matter where he's standing in the challenge, no matter what he's doing. And in this moment, the editing I thought was fascinating because they made it so that we could hear what PG was trying to say to Sharia. But in that same moment, we could hear Jeff out. We could literally hear him outside. They didn't make it like an over.
So it was more of the perspective of the two.
The players.
That. Yeah, that's very cool.
And I thought that was fascinating and really, really cool because we don't really ever like see things like that. We don't ever get like this moment of feeling what would this actually feel like if I was out there, because just not like yelling in your ear, right? He's not going to be right next to you all the time talking. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of like look behind the veil or look into what it actually means to be a player on Survivor.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's also an interesting moment here because again, it goes back to, do you prioritize the new tribe or do you prioritize your old tribe? And Sharia was prioritizing new tribe. Did not work out for her. That was the episode that she went home.
Yeah. And it's funny. I'm wearing this Nature with Tyson shirt today because Tyson always says if there's a swap or something, you've got to be with the people you're with. Then make that like whatever's going on in the moment, because you don't know what your last alliance. You don't know what the deals they're making. You don't know if Frosty and Sharia have been brought in and replaced, like, James and Aaron. So you've got to just make do with what you have. Yeah. And that comes back to bite them in the butt many times.
Absolutely. Like,
throughout many seasons as well.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you brought him up. Aaron. We got to talk about Aaron.
Oh, Aaron.
Aaron. Now, let's talk about this twist to begin with. We talked a little bit about the stealing of the people, but we didn't talk about the tribe swap. Mm-hmm. This tribe swap, I mean, you talk to any Survivor fan, maybe not any, a lot of Survivor fans, about, you know, one of the biggest swap screwed, you know, worst swaps of all time. A lot of times they bring up the Survivor trying to swap. And how this worked, if you don't remember, each tribe got a sheet of paper with the other tribes, all of their names on the paper, mm-hmm. and they could select the two strongest players.
Two strongest warriors.
Warriors.
Coach would have loved it.
Yes, Coach would have loved that. Warriors to join their team. And so we at Fei Long, they choose Sharia and Frosty. And then at Jeanhu, they choose James and Aaron, very obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, at Fei Long, they go, oh, they're going to choose James and Aaron. Like, this is so very clear. Like, we know exactly what's going to happen. Very oddly, shockingly, at Jeanhu, they go, the tides have turned. We are in charge now. We're going to be up 7-5. Oh, this is awesome. Nobody ever once thought that this is also happening to the other group. Did you notice that?
No, that's something that always stuck in my memory. It was just, how would you not even consider that this message was also being delivered to the other tribe? Because they didn't win. This didn't come with like a reward.
They just showed up.
It was just like a guy in a boat shows up one day with a note. Like,
I thought that was so funny. And especially because, like, I don't know, PG, I feel like, is a very astute game player. Mm-hmm. And she was going along with it. And like, I don't know, it was just so funny. And then when they found out, oh no, we're losing Frost. Like, it's just, it's very interesting. How do you feel about the twist?
I mean, I feel like a lot of like the swaps back then were kind of like off kilter like that. There was, because like in Guatemala, you had to rank the tribe, and then like two people were left over to be screwed over. And then in Africa, it was just the people who went on the thing.
Yeah.
There was always like these very like different ways of how they did swaps. And maybe it doesn't seem like on paper the most fair, but one of those two people that were swapped over without the numbers was able to make it out of it. And it just didn't go Aaron's way.
For both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
For both sides too. Because, you know, we lose Sharia. And we also lose Aaron, but we don't lose Frosty or James. Mm-hmm. And you're so right.
Was it Aaron that also was saying like, hey, I have like very good relationships with all those people back there. I can have them like help us out. And James was like, I'm just a workhorse. That's all I do.
Yeah. Like, that's if anybody ever goes on Survivor, mm-hmm. don't ever brag how good your connections are with people that you're not currently with. Like, let's maybe not and say we did kind of a situation, because why would that matter to them? Because right now you're in the minority, your connections are not going to help them right now. They might, it might in theory help them down the line, but your connections right now, you need to be like, oh, James is so close to everybody. James loves everybody, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I think this is just also kind of one of those things where it shows, or it is really in theory early on in Survivor's mm-hmm. game history. I mean, this is the fourth time, 11, 12, 13, 14, fifth time, idols are even in play, second time with these rules. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the game is still very new, if I'm being completely honest. But it's just like, dude, what are you doing? But still kind of sucks to see them go. And, you know, swap screwed is it, you know, people are absolutely swap screwed. So it's just one of those. Would you want to see him back? Do you want to see him?
I mean, he was also pretty much in lock with Todd and Amanda at the very beginning.
Yes, he was.
Like, he was in a lot of those strategic conversations. So I feel like he wouldn't be awful to have back again. But he's not, like, I feel like there's other flavors of Aaron mm-hmm. that I would rather have back, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I just, it stinks. It was, that was unfortunate, but hey, that's a lot of Survivor. It's luck. And you know, one person, he didn't play it properly. Sometimes that's just what happens. Here's, I think I've said this before, and so if you've heard me say it, let me know. Somebody who I am shocked at playing a much better game than I remember is Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Jamie's playing the perfect game, right? I mean, we just saw her get voted out 2 episodes ago. But I genuinely am like impressed with her gut instinct. When she's talking with Leslie, for example, mm-hmm. way back early on in the season, she talks about how, oh, like her instinct is to choose Leslie because she feels like she's like the weakest.
Yeah.
And she can manipulate her and work with her. And it ends up that they have a lot in common, mm-hmm. but she didn't know that going in. And I think that that is a really interesting instinct, especially in somebody that I don't think you would expect that instinct, especially at this point in Survivor history.
Mm-hmm.
And then also her and PG throwing the challenge, which iconic.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I always remember the shot of her smiling while they're just failing the puzzle and then James is being mad and like.
I hate.
Was it her that threw the puzzle piece on the other side? Yeah.
That I vividly remember. So Survivor China was the first season I ever watched. And when I saw that, I got so mad. I like saw red. I hated it so much. I thought it was one of the worst things I had ever seen. I could not imagine anybody would do this to another human being. Like, and they're laughing about it and they're snickering. I was so, so upset. It's still honestly low key hard to watch because that's the thing with Aaron's boot. It's not just that he got swap screwed, but it's also that it was like a purposeful loss that everyone thought was like funny.
Yeah.
To get him out, which
rubbing salt in the wound, sure.
Yeah, but it's not a terrible. How do you feel about the how do you feel about throwing challenges overall? But then how do you also feel about throwing of this challenge?
I see why, like in theory, why people would want to throw a challenge. Maybe you have some cohesion, some like people fighting in your group, and you just want to like get that done so you don't have to deal with that back at camp. But at the same time. One, you can easily, like, if a team has lost a bunch and then you give them one, that giving them some sort of hope could easily give them, like, momentum. And you see time and time again when people will throw a challenge and then lose, like, the next three. And then they'll go into, like, a swap or a merge completely down in numbers because it all started with that one challenge that they threw.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be at some point when you will have to go to a tribal council. And I feel like that's when you can save like these people that you've been like arguing with or like not vibing with like the entire time. And it might just be, I feel like now, like we mentioned earlier with Modern Survivor, it's a bit easier to like hang on to these people because you only have to deal with them for like right. maybe 3 days instead of 9 more days, for example.
But also yeah. here, Aaron isn't like he wasn't an annoyance. It's just like, so it's because they didn't want Shree or Frosty to get voted out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, were they ever going to win that challenge? Who knows? You know what I mean? Like they might've been bad at it. I doubt it, but it's just a very interesting, the biggest thing about that thrown challenge to me is the numbers aren't all that crazy in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3-2. They have Eric, Jamie, PG, and then James and Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay. All James and Aaron needed was one person, aka Eric,
yeah.
to switch over.
Have a meathead alliance, and then
that is so risky.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they knew Eric. They knew what to expect with him,
mm-hmm.
and so they took that into account when they were throwing. And Eric just, I guess, went along with it. And so I think that's important to know that they knew who they were playing with, but too rich for my blood. I that is so putting my fate into one person's, and for PG, it's PG on the, Eric is not voting out Jamie.
Yeah.
No, it's, if they're swapping, Eric goes, hey guys, I'll go with you, but I'm not going to vote out. He's not going to do that. So I just think that it's such a huge risk for PG here, mm-hmm. specifically, and for, honestly, and for Jamie to do this, because then what happens if it goes wrong? Like, that's the big thing. You throw a challenge thinking that you know what's going to happen, but you don't always know what's going to happen.
It's hard to predict how the ball is going to bounce.
Exactly. There's a lot of time between challenge and tribal council. Mm-hmm. A lot of people to deal with, a lot of opinions to be heard.
Not to mention the possible idol.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the idols, okay?
Those big hunking planks you gotta hide.
So fun. I love them so much. So James has both of the idols. Uh-huh.
First person to have two idols.
Well, I mean, yes.
At the same time.
At the same time. But also, I will say, the modern idol has only been in two seasons. So yeah. It happens real quick. Yeah. It happens really, really quick. I first want to talk about Todd's decision to give James the idol from Fei Long's camp. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that?
I always thought it was interesting that he wouldn't just tell him where to go get the other one and hang on to the one he has. But maybe because so many people knew about the idol, it's kind of like in season 50, like
a Scarlet Letter.
The idol's a Scarlet Letter, and he wants to like put that target on someone else's back. I think we talked about it a little bit, and that there was a chance that maybe that they would go to tribal council without going back to camp. So maybe James wouldn't have the option to go get that idol, or maybe there'd be two tribal councils, so maybe he would need to. But I still think it's giving away a lot of power to some. And when you've already brought in like Frosty on the other side, I feel like you maybe want to protect him, but I feel like you don't need to like give away everything.
Right.
You don't have to give away a house and home for it.
Yeah, I think this goes back to our discussion that we had earlier of Todd just kind of having an idea and running with it, mm-hmm. like before thinking about it fully, because I think, and I'm not saying he didn't think things through. I think he is an incredible game player who does think a lot of things through, but I just think that he has knee-jerk reactions sometimes and goes after those when it's not necessarily the best decision, I think, for him in the long run. I think that, no spoilers.
I didn't say anything.
I think that this one, and having that would have been a scarlet letter on him, and everyone would have known, and it would have been really, really bad. But I just think that it he had this idea. He was like, I have this amazing idea. Let me just give this to James. Great, amazing, blah, 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 blah. But it just feels like not a fully formed idea. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I...
It also, I feel like, could come from overthinking it. Like, because now where you, in the older seasons where you have like a couple of days or 3 days between things, you're maybe sitting on an idea and then maybe you like tweak it like one or too many times.
I think that's a very, very good point where, you know, you sit on something too long. We see what happened with season 41. They sit on ideas too long and all of a sudden too many things happen at once. I think that's a very, very good point. Having James two idols. Having any idols, I mean, these aren't God idols. These are...
One thing I love about summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little more relaxed and I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere pieces again and again. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you actually live in all season long.
Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and a summer upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. And Phil, I told you this before, but I don't often wear linen shirts or linen pants. But now that I have them from Quince, I find myself going back to them time and time again, whether it's an upscale outdoor event or if I'm just hanging by the beach or at the pool, I'm reaching for these shirts all throughout the summer. Also, their tees are soft enough to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials.
Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/specialist for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/specialist with an S at the end for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/specialists. Your paycheck date could soon become the most irrelevant number in your life. Earnin is a non-bank finance app, 5 million people and growing. The concept is almost annoyingly simple. You earn money, you access it. Up to $150 per day of what you've already worked for, up to $1,000 between paychecks. Tips are optional and standard transfers take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers start at $399 and cap at $599. It's not about emergencies. It's just a better way to exist financially day to day. Worth checking out. Look, you all know I wear a lot of hats, and nothing annoys me more than waiting for money that I earned while due dates inch closer and closer. I did the work, so what's taking so long? We live in an era of instant gratification, so why don't we demand instant access to our money? The most essential thing we need to participate in society is the thing we wait for the most. That's absurd. End the absurdity today. Download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play, spelled like earning money without the G. Type in the specialist under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
These are regular mm-hmm. schmegular idols. Gives him a lot of confidence.
Yeah. And I feel like when you have two idols, sorry, when you have two idols, I feel like you would have a lot more ease of at least playing that first idol because yeah. you know, if something goes wrong, I always have like a backup idol, like after that.
Kind of like David versus Goliath.
Yeah. So I feel like that first idol, you would just be like, kind of like, I don't know, just like jumping at it to play.
Yeah. I mean, the Jean Robert vote that we just watched mm-hmm. earlier today, James got like 3 votes.
Yeah.
Like that's very close to too close for comfort in mm-hmm. my opinion.
And like he had been told that Jean Robert was already targeting him. So he knew that there were a couple of votes coming for him as yeah. well.
Yeah. It's so, I think that sometimes, you know, it could potentially give people the false confidence, but he read that one right. Obviously he did not need to play yeah. it. So he read that one correctly. But it's, yeah, idols are a tricky thing because they're not actually full protection.
I loved the scene of Eric and Jean Robert in the water talking to each other. And Jean Robert is like, hey, I've got an idol. And then Eric's like, hey, no, you don't. And
what did he say? He just went,
but
it was actually really sad. It actually kind of broke my heart a bit because it just felt like very much like a kid, like, you know, going trick-or-treating or something and comes back with all this candy and the mom goes, well, you can't have that until tomorrow.
You get one piece of candy tonight.
What? It was just, it was kind of really sad, but very, very funny because everybody knows, basically every single person on that beach knows that James mm-hmm. has 2 idols. Everybody on original Fei Long, I believe
that's what Todd had said.
Jamie and Eric knew because they went through the bag. Mm-hmm. I think so Frosty.
I would assume PG would know because of that as well.
And then I believe Frosty also knew at least about one. Mm-hmm. And so my guess that he would know, I think he knew about both. So I believe literally every single person except for Jean Robert knew that he had 2 idols.
And then Jean Robert like going back to Todd and being like, hey, did you hear about this? And Todd's like, oh man, it's crazy. I heard it through the grapevine. It's so wild.
Oh my gosh. It's just like that kind of secondhand embarrassment just makes me cringe so hard. We're just like, everybody knows something and one person doesn't. And I'm just like, I need to leave the situation immediately. I hate it so much. But I don't hate it as much as Jean Robert. Seeing Jean Robert leave, I felt so happy for Courtney. I just, every single time I'm like, Courtney, you did it, girl. You did it. You got rid of him. And then when she wakes up the next morning and he's not there,
she's
did
just
it.
Smiling.
You did it. Yeah. We did it. That is, yeah. Do you think that they're like just pure unadulterated hatred? I think that's one of the biggest like hatreds in Survivor. Maybe not the biggest, but like up there.
I feel like every time she could have voted for Jean Robert, she voted for Jean Robert.
I think you're totally right. I think you're so 100% right. Now, in all of these, I mean, because this podcast, we missed like 5 or 6 episodes. Uh-oh. My bad. Sorry, guys. Was there an episode that stood out to you the most that you like really, really enjoyed the most here?
What I've been thinking about a lot with these episodes is how amazing these rewards are. And it's kind of like a cop-out answer because that's like multiple episodes. But I loved when the Chinese family came and visited camp.
The fish.
And that they had those ducks with like their throats that they could like
catch
the fish for them. And Jean Robert out of nowhere just remembering he knows Mandarin.
What was that? What was that? Like, did they know that ahead of time? They must have.
I feel like, I mean, because it's something he said that he had like when he was like a kid. So I feel like he could have mentioned like a background of like living somewhere, like living there for a little bit or something.
That was crazy. I also thought it was that I just the chaos that these characters from the season bring from that reward specifically. We saw Jean Robert was telling people what the family was telling them to do.
Yeah.
And James said, "Stop barking orders at me." And Jean Robert, I will say, not on Jean Robert's side most of the time. I'm like, James, he's translating what somebody else is saying right now. I get that it comes off wrong.
Uh-huh.
I 100% get that. But I was like, James, he is this one time just actually translating somebody. That is such a good, I loved that reward. I love the Charmin reward. I loved that reward. We just saw the boat reward
with the boat.
Fried chicken. Mashed potatoes.
It's a better song than chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
That's how you do it on Survivor.
That is how you do it on Survivor.
I know we've got a better reward coming, probably one of like the better ones coming up that people often talk about.
I'm
not
yet.
Talking about it. I'm just mentioning.
Okay.
You know, it's a little stay tuned.
Stay tuned for scenes. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited for that one. Now, what else from these Bachelor episodes like stood out to you? Were there any big moments, any big character moments, arguments, like anything from this Bachelor episodes that you said, wow, I totally forgot that happened, or this is one of my favorite moments in Survivor?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I love just Crazy Dave building his barbecue pit. Just him being like so bossy and wanting it done his way when he says it. We don't have to go do it like in 10 minutes. I want it done now.
And then we see him get exhausted at an immunity challenge because, oh, I don't know, we've been carrying rocks all day. What's going on here, dude?
Just also like Jean Robert, like the moment of this most recent episode. Of him like finding out like everybody else like about the idol like after everybody else knew, and especially like when they're on the reward, everybody else trying to like hold it back like that they don't know, they're just trying to play along.
Yeah, and then he goes and starts looking for it. Oh gosh, just and then he gets voted out. Another shout out for Jamie. Okay, another Jamie shout out here. I don't know. I think it was also really impressive that obviously, again, hidden immunity idols only came about like if there's not this like crazy history of hidden immunity idols. And she saw something on the ground and it didn't say hidden immunity is an idol on it. But I think that she had the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went through somebody's bag again. Right idea. Confirmed that she didn't open the thing to see that there was writing on it. But I mean, she didn't know when James was coming back. So she realized, okay, it's a square, almost the exact same size.
And two of them.
So this must be something. I think that she had a lot of really good instincts in this game. And I think that she kind of is creeping up to the top of my list of people that I would like to see back.
Yeah.
Is she the greatest, biggest character from Survivor China, greatest character Absolutely not. Obviously not. But I just think that I see a lot of really good instincts in her to, you know, make a great Survivor player.
If she would have, say, like swapped and been, not swapped, but like started on a different tribe, like say she was in Amanda's spot or like Courtney's spot, she would probably, I don't know, do very well.
Yeah.
Like just having that, being on that one tribe, kind of like starting off, she was like one of the more strategic people,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else is kind of just like loud personalities,
yeah.
characters.
Yeah, 100%. Now, from the eliminated players that we've got so far, a batch of eliminated players, who would you most like to see back? Frosty, Jean Robert, Jamie, Shreya.
I mean, Frosty's always would be fun because he was like a young kid, and you kind of want to see like where he is now, like how, yeah. how he's like, especially because I don't, he would be what, like
he was 20 when it filmed, which would have been in be what, like, 2007, 2008,
in his like 40s, like early 40s, maybe around right around 40.
He would no, I think he'd be like 38, 39.
Okay, but do you think he's still able or still doing parkour? Like, I know you'd be
parkour.
Able to, but like, that's something you'd have to like keep up with. Like,
you really have to, yeah. I think he would be very, I think that there is a lot to be said about watching players who played really young play mm-hmm. again. Like, I would love to see Will back. I would love to see JD back. I would love to see, you know, honestly, even like Natalie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she won when she was, what, 21 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Fabio. Like, even
Jenna Maraska.
Jenna Maraska.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be really, really interesting to see kind of how they play all these years later as a, as an older person who's, you know, older and, you know, in theory, wiser. But definitely, I think he would be. Were you kind of shocked that he went out here? I was kind of shocked that he went out over Eric.
I could see why they would want to do that, because like, you would see how close he is with Courtney, and you feel like maybe if you let him go a little bit longer, Courtney's going to want to like side with him, and like just one person siding with the other side is going to be detrimental to my entire alliance. So, and you feel like nobody's going to get that close with Eric like in
yeah.
the next couple of rounds.
On paper, you may think that Courtney is the most powerful person out mm-hmm. there because they keep going after her number ones. They keep saying, okay, you like Courtney? Psh, gotta go. Goodbye. Courtney's friend, bye. We got to keep Courtney's enemy. Courtney's best friend, you're out of here. Yeah, I don't understand why that necessarily is. Maybe it just goes back to, I think, the amount of power that I believe that Todd and Amanda specifically hold mm-hmm. over people. For some reason, they are the decision makers.
Yeah.
And I think that Amanda was getting along with Eric, and maybe she didn't get along with Frosty as well as Courtney, and that is the reason why that decision was made.
Yeah. And I think we've both talked about it. I don't know if we've said it on this like podcast, but I thought Denise would have like, I remember her being such a larger like character like throughout these like just I guess most yeah. of like the season. We're about halfway through, and I think she's gotten just like very
like
little
nothing.
Content. There was a little bit about her when they were trying to throw the food eating challenge against James, and her not being able to do it, and her yelling.
Aww.
And then in this most recent episode, her being the only person to not know about the vote out, who was it, Jean Robert? She didn't know about
yeah. that. Yeah. That made me sad. And after she just talked about getting chosen last,
uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, that made me really, really sad. I also remember her having a much bigger character arc, but I think this maybe is, we could see this potentially being, you know, one of those character arcs where a Tiffany one, if you mm-hmm. will, where, you know, not much in the beginning, more at the merge, and then more and more and more.
Yeah.
Because I remember her being one of the main like five characters.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like there was also a lot of popularity with her as well, just because people root for like a lot of like the blue collar like characters, like who like they're working,
right.
They're doing it for the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that she's really interesting. And I really like her a lot on the show. I really like her and James's relationship.
Oh,
they
yeah.
seem to be really good
and
friends.
James is like, if she was a few years older, if I was a few years younger, she better watch out.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I just think that they like But it's also funny. Sorry, let me finish my sentence. I think it's really interesting to see their friendship, but I also think that it's not like they have the same working relationship like Todd and Amanda do. Mm-hmm. They have a different kind of working relationship where they go and work,
yeah,
but they're not playing the game together.
It reminds me of like that quote from Ron Swanson, like that guy who likes like the barber he like never talked to and like best friend he ever had.
Yeah. Yes, you're 100% right. You're 100% right.
It was just the work ethic of the two of them like really bonds them. I
think. Yeah, yeah. So what are you excited about for, like, we saw the next time on Survivor, would this would be for episode, or not next time, it was that we got left on a cliffhanger. And the cliffhanger is something happens right after Tribal Council.
Yeah, it's wild that they would leave that, like, at a cliffhanger, not, I guess they didn't do a lot of 2-hour episodes back then, or hour and a half episodes, but it feels like they needed to, like, just come in with like the end of that episode because you're unsure of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then like the tease, the preview for the next episode, it's like a clip show. And
what's
even going on?
Yeah. So the recap show, so that means if you're watching Survivor China Live, you get left on a cliffhanger and
something's happening
at Tribal Council immediately after, and you do not get you will not get an answer for that for 2 weeks. That's diabolical.
Diabolical.
That is diabolical. And in their honor, we will be waiting. No, I'm just kidding. like, that is crazy. But I'm very excited to see what happens next. And I think that, you know, there are people who don't like Survivor China, NPR. my op now. NPR is my op. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not, actually. ranking Survivor China at 27. That's crazy. And I was like, well, maybe I'm just, like, misremembering this season. No, I love it.
This is one of those seasons that, like, every bit of, like, the culture is, like, entwined into the show, like, with the music and, like, the architecture and all the challenges.
The fireworks challenge, like, is great.
Half of the challenges are unique to this season because they have to deal with something that you can only do with, like, this culture or in this area. Like, how about the challenge where they dress up in, like, the full armor and they're, like, throwing the thing? I guess you could do that with, like...
But it's still cool. Like,
it's not salmon. I don't know.
It's just still... It's still a very, very... Like, they do a lot of very cool stuff and different stuff and stuff that we won't normally see. Like I said, the fireworks challenge. I loved the one, which I think this might have been episode 1 or maybe 2, where they let a ball go down the chute and... it's like a ball but it's in mud and you have to like push it through the mud. That one is great. We saw Courtney win a challenge because she just stood still on like a dragon thing, which was great. Our cat is getting into something. I just feel like there is a lot of really fun challenges. And that actually brings me also to one thing that I love, which is a challenge that has nothing to do with physicality. And we saw that on an episode, Frosty wins, I believe, the first individual immunity. And at the merge feast, we got a merge feast, which is also very, very exciting. At the merge feast, Jeff says, the game never stops. The game continues on. Keep that in mind. Enjoy the merge feast. And then Jeff comes to the camp and he brings the challenge with him and everybody sits down and they have to do memory questions about the merge feast. So probably one of the cheapest challenges they've ever done. and it makes it so that other people can be good at things. It's not physical.
It's not leaning on the people who've just been doing Pilates for 10 years to like win everything. Like, or if you're a puzzle master.
Yes. They're so good. And again, it brings back a merge feast, which a merge feast is one of my, not brings back, but you know, I love a merge feast. Mm-hmm. So much fun. But it also makes it so that the game still is going on. It's not just celebration, which is fine. I actually like just celebration. And also, it gives other people chances to win. Now, I will say Frosty wins. Mm-hmm. And Frosty would have had a good chance to win these challenges anyway. But, for example, the other one that we just watched, another memory challenge, Jeff just reading out lists of things.
All the Zodiac.
And PG wins. And
then PG stabbing them.
Yeah, and PG wins that one. So, it's just, you know, it's funny how a lot of people call, or I don't know, a lot of people called the Survivor New Era the budget era. Mm-hmm. Which I believe is, you know, true. I don't think that they just cut it down to 26 days for no reason. They did it for COVID and they realized they could continue doing it. And, you know, there are other things like money saving things, staying in Fiji and whatever else. One thing that they really could have done was memory challenges. Yeah. Those things are cheap. Okay. But
especially
requires like, no wood.
There's some of them that he just lists out a color and then you turn a cube.
Yeah. It's genuinely such an easy thing to do. I don't understand why we don't see it more often. Maybe because it's not compelling television, but you know what's really compelling television? Having somebody who has not won an immunity challenge, who would never win an immunity challenge, win an immunity challenge and see how everyone else scrambles around that. That is compelling television.
Especially like when PG wins, like she was the target
that
episode.
She was 100% the target.
It changes everything up and it makes that like argument of like, should we go after Frosty even like because he's like closer to Courtney or should we just go after the other sitting duck and Eric?
It
definitely adds like a lot more variety to the show in terms of both, not just in terms of like the challenge, but in terms of the people who can win the challenge.
Yes, yeah, I 100% agree. All right, Ryan, up until episode 9, which is where we're at now, how would you rank this season? A scale of 1 to 10. Trying to keep the rest of the season out of your mind.
There's a lot of personal conflicts. There's a definite identity to the season. I would rank it like fairly high. I'd probably go for like a 7 or 8. Yeah.
Love. I would say 9 probably. Ooh. I love this season a lot. And I'm actually liking it more this time watching it back because I think that there were a lot of people in my ear saying China's actually not that good. Survivor China's not actually that good.
Well, now you don't think Courtney's mean and you can laugh at her
exactly
jokes.
Now I can tell. I think she's hysterical. So I just think it's a really, really fun season. Well, we're at the point of the podcast where if you have not seen Survivor China before, if you remain unspoiled and you are just watching along with us, then you should pause and maybe listen to this podcast at the end of the season. Or you might not never hear this, and that's okay. Because we are going to...
But if you miss it, we're only going to be saying nice things about you, and you'll
you
really
wanna hear it.
It.
You really so want to hear it, yeah.
Come back later.
But we will be talking about spoilers now. Ooh. So, okay, 3, 2, 1, here we go. Watching, you know, knowing what we know is going to come, how is it... how do you feel about watching kind of Todd and his game?
This last episode, when I guess it was 2 episodes ago, but when Jean Robert comes to Todd and he's like, hey, I think we should maybe think about taking out James after we've just watched like the past 10 minutes of him going around to everybody, like setting that as a plan. And then him realizing like, oh, Jean Robert is actually a little bit smarter than any of us actually thought he was. So if he's thinking strategically, maybe we should take out the other strategic people. And it's very interesting to see him because he's okay with a strategic person in, say, Amanda. But if there's another, like maybe like an alpha guy that he's not okay with that person, then also presenting something strategic because that takes away almost everything that he, like all of his like credit.
Yeah. I also think that we have seen Jean Robert and Todd be in opposition with each other literally since day one. You know, I actually talked about it on this podcast with another Ryan Irwin, in this segment right here where Jean Robert and Todd were talking about, like, Jean Robert goes to Todd and is like, I see you, you're a threat. We better work together.
And he's like, you're lying about being a flight attendant.
I
know it.
And I think that, you know, that is also ringing in the back of Todd's head where Todd knows, well, I've been clocked in a way from day one. If I don't think that he is going to actually want to work with me, we're at crunch time, right? We're at the merge. We got to get people out. And I do think a little bit has to do with ego here.
Yeah.
Where, because I, you know, one of my genuinely biggest pet peeves is, and I think this is like an ADHD symptom or something, when I'm about to do something, like I'm about to go and take out the trash, whatever. And then from the other room, Ryan doesn't know what I'm doing. And Ryan goes, hey, could you take out the trash? Just whatever. There's nothing I want to do less than take out the trash now. I was already going to take out the trash, and now, but now all of a sudden somebody says to do the thing, and I was already going to do it. It's just this weird like thing I've got in my brain. And I do think in that moment that is kind of showing through a little bit with Todd, where he's like, well, I was already going to do that. Now you want me to do it? Nope.
Now you're going to make that your thing.
No, thanks. But I do think that it's a little bit of ego, but it's also a little bit of, I think like, he knows that if he slips through to the end, this could be a thing that he claims himself.
Yeah.
Because two people can have the same idea at the same exact time and both be able to claim that they're original ideas.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a threat, and, you know, I think that that's 100% why. And I think you nailed it, but it's really interesting to see it happen here, because it just shifts so quickly. Mm-hmm. And poor Denise gets left out. But seriously, I do remember her having a much. Yeah. And I also remember Courtney and Todd being much closer.
But I guess that all just comes from the end game of it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot
what I was what were you? What are you most excited to rewatch that you haven't seen yet?
I mean, definitely the reward where they're on the Great Wall. Yeah. That's very fun. It's like, I don't know, one of the best rewards of the entire series.
Yeah.
I love Todd's final tribal council speech, especially like the John, how he handles John Robert's question.
Yeah.
Shuts him up, gets James laughing about it. Oh, how about James with his two idols? Like we're starting to see like little sprinkles of like the downfall.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, he could easily just like make his way to the end.
Yeah.
He just has to win one challenge.
Yeah. Where I think it's very interesting to watch this back and know what's going to happen and kind of see how the editors have sprinkled in the Jean Robert versus Todd, the two idols, maybe going out with the two idols, the sprinklings of, you know, the final three. Like, I just find all of how they put the puzzle pieces together to be very interesting rewatching it back.
Here's a fun fact that I found out pretty recently. The hat that Todd wears this season, Courtney wears that in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. We've been hating on that hat a lot.
Well, I don't know if that style of hat is very popular among this group. You got Frosty.
They all have the same kind of hat that we
PG has one.
We're like, why does everyone have this same style of very like Fallout Boy 2002, like 2006, like 2005 Fallout Boy. What is going on? Did the casting or did the costume department here be like, everyone needs the same kind of hat? Sorry, this is just a clear, very us issue.
And it was only in like these past two episodes that we start seeing the strongest alliance of the entire season and probably the next couple of seasons. And that's Amanda and the Blur.
The Blur.
Blurmanda.
Blurmanda.
Yeah.
Blurmanda is, Blurmanda. Because again, one of those things where Ryan and I at the beginning were like, man, we thought Amanda was blurred a lot more than this. And then like in the last two episodes, we're like, there it is. There's the Blur. The blur is there.
The Blur's back.
She's so funny. Well, thank you all for listening. And thank you, Ryan, for chatting with me today about five episodes. The plan here, guys, is to do this more often, obviously. Give you a little insight into my life. I'm an events manager at a restaurant, and last 2 weeks have been the busiest weeks of the year. And have been crazy. So I'm so sorry we're so behind on podcasts. Planning to do another one this week to talk about the next episode. If you want to vote on whether or not we cover the what do you want to call it?
The recap episode.
If you go to my Discord for the Survivor Rewatch Club, there's a link in my bio on either TikTok or Instagram. You can go and vote. That vote is going to be live for the next 3 days. So it's going to be closing, I believe, on Wednesday or Thursday to actually see if we cover that. If not, if we do cover it, we'll be watching that on Friday. If we don't, we'll be just hopping into the next episode. And we don't have that many episodes left for Survivor Trina. So, you know, we're breezing through it and having a lot of fun doing it. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, for chatting with us. Thank you again, Ryan, for chatting. Where can people find you if they want to follow you?
You can find me tagged in any of Tagwith's posts. So you should just follow Tagwith, really, if you want to find me.
Everyone say boo, yeah. Ryan, boo.
I don't post a lot.
And, he's so sweet. Yeah. You should.
But you can follow me, Ryan J. Cardwell.
Oh, so he does plug. Yeah, he does it. I'll say it.
She's just dragging it out of me.
God, I'm dead. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out on a late Monday night. And until next time, we will see you guys then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Until the next Survivor China stream. Bye.